Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast, sponsored by Kel-Tec.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
So a Florida man shows that he can kayak in his living room during Hurricane Helene. A Tampa Bay resident, he told a Canadian news outlet how he was able to get a kayak out. There was so much flooding in his house. I mean, it's not unusual that he got a kayak out in his living room. I mean, there's people dying, but okay. Am I being mean about this? Am I being like too cynical?
Maybe.
I might be.
Maybe.
I don't know. Now this one though, I don't know if I should feel bad for the gator. I'm real confused here because, you know, gators are everywhere, right, in Florida. And when you got hurricanes that roll through, it brings the water to you. And guess what's in the water that is brought to you?
Oh, yeah, the gator.
The gator. So one homeowner saw that an 8-foot gator was trying to get some shelter on this dude's doorstep. He was kind of moseying through several yards, just kind of rolling through. It's not entirely unusual. And then he went right up to someone's door, according to the sheriff's office. And they had to call Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation, who joked, well, the standard practice is to not answer the door when the alligator's there. Okay. And it happened right as Hurricane Helene was off of Florida's Gulf Coast. And they were thinking that, you know, the alligator knew something was coming and maybe was trying to seek some shelter or something. But it's not the first or only time. There were other alligators that showed up. In fact, people were calling Florida Fish and Wildlife saying, he's just looking at me. This gator's here and he's just looking at me. Just saying. Be careful out there. Let's see. In addition to that, there's also... Yeah, I know you got this one too. I don't want to get the naked Florida man. Did we have the naked Florida man who had the devil, who said he was the devil and he was naked? I think so. Can we talk about the Florida doctor who accidentally removed the wrong organs in two surgeries?
Oh, God.
Yeah. So this is really bad. This is a Florida doctor in Destin. The guy's medical license is now suspended. And he kind of removed the incorrect organs in at least, is the kicker, at least two surgeries.
Oh, good God.
Yeah, one, it killed one patient, and the other suffers long-term permanent harm as a result. In March of last year, the guy who survived, he's 58 years old, they took out his pancreas instead of his adrenal gland. Both procedures took place at Ascension Sacred Heart in Miramar. In Miramar, isn't that the fancy part of Florida? Isn't that a fancy area? So this is like a fancy hospital in a fancy area, right? My Floridians will tell me if I'm wrong. So they settled that on a malpractice claim. Then last month, the 70-year-old who didn't make it, his liver was removed instead of his spleen. Oh, my gosh. I am shocked. So... Yeah, so they said that the formal discipline proceeding is going to take place. I would imagine a malpractice is going to happen with that guy, too. Wow, that's just, it's crazy. So, I don't know, man. I get when people say that they're nervous about going to the hospital. Stories like that don't help. And, let's see, this is, I wanted to get, a Florida man and his dog. So, he and his dog were rescued off the coast in the Gulf because this was on Thursday. The guy had a 36-foot sailboat. It became disabled, started taking on water. It was 25 miles off of Sanibel Island. His dog had a life vest. They were in the water, sweet pup. And as Helene was approaching, I guess he was trying to get his boat in or something. He had been out, and I guess he was trying to get to land. But they said that they were actually able to get him. The Coast Guard said that his boat took on water. They were rescued. So, yay, thank you, United States Coast Guard. That was nice. A Florida man got 25 years in prison because he stole the identity of a Texas dude in a coma. 40-year-old Donald Wood pled guilty to over 20 felony charges. He stole this dude's identity back in 2021, and he took out loans for vehicles and all this stuff. And then finally, investigators started looking into it, and it was the state attorney's office in Florida. And they realized, wow, none of this stuff is adding up, and that he had been, I mean, he was I mean, you're looking at hundreds of thousands of dollars at this point. It's our partners over at Kel-Tec. It's the P15. It's the lightest, thinnest double-stack 9mm on the market. You've got two versions. You have the polymer version, and you have the metal version. The metal version has the wood grip panels on it. Polymer version, look, just get the damn gun. You know why? Because it's a nice, concealable gun. It's nice. It's lightweight. It sends with two magazines. One's a 15-round magazine. Standard capacity for the wimps out there. Standard capacity. Minimum pinky extension. The other one's the 12-round. That's flush fit double stack mag that holds 12 rounds. If you want like the ultra concealability, tritium fiber optic front sight. Sweet trigger. I mean, it's a striker fire pistol from the people who literally invented the micro compact pistol category. For the everyman, that's the tiny little teeny witty bitty gun. Okay. You don't lose stopping power. It's a great gun. Get it, because you're probably going to need it if things keep going down this route. You can find it at Kel-Tec. Innovation, performance, Kel-Tec. Great Florida-based company. America needs more companies like them. Find it at KelTecWeapons.com. It's called the P15. That stands for 15 pews, right? Standard capacity pews. K-E-L-T-E-C, weapons.com. Tell them that Dana sent you, for the love of all things holy.
Let me explain something to you. These people today don't know what a shrike is.
Right.
When my men hit the streets, from Maine to Texas, every single port a lockdown. You know what's going to happen? I'll tell you. First week, be all over the news every night, boom, boom. Second week, guys who sell cars can't sell cars because the cars ain't coming in off the ships. They get laid off. Third week, malls start closing down. They can't get the goods from China. They can't sell clothes. They can't do this. Everything in the United States comes on a ship. They go out of business. Construction workers get laid off because the materials aren't coming in. The steel's not coming in. The lumber's not coming in. They lose their job. Everybody's hating the longshoremen now because now they realize how important our jobs are. Now I have the president screaming at me. I'm putting a Taft Hartley on you. Go ahead. Taft Hartley means I have to go back to work for 90 days. That's a cooling off period. Do you think when I go back for 90 days, those men are going to go to work on that pier? It's going to cost the money, the company's money to pay their salaries. Well, they went from 30 moves an hour maybe to 8. They're going to be like this. Who's going to win here in the long run? You're better off sitting down. And let's get a contract, and let's move on with this world. And in today's world, I'll cripple you. I will cripple you, and you have no idea.
You know, I think the gold chain and that nugget ring really—it's a nice touch. You know, the gold chain and the nugget ring just really make it such a nice. They add such a nice touch to the whole vignette there, don't they? I do believe they do. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. Channel 347, DirecTV, also Rumble, where the chat happens. And X, that's the head of the Longshoremen's group, Daggett, Harold Daggett. He's like, I will cripple you. I'll cripple, talking about this strike. Again, I mean, that's why Jay-Z's Big Pimpin' was so apropos there. Because, you know, you got mudded out roads. You know, you got down power lines. You got buildings you got to rebuild, but you don't got no materials. You know, Big Pimpin' here, Captain Gold Chain, he needs a new gold nugget on his finger. So sucks for you. And I can say that because that man makes big fat bank. You want to know how much money that man brings in? This is the thing that amazes me. It's like waiting for Lefty gone wrong. When the little guy fights the big guy oppressing him, and then he becomes the big guy to oppress others. I don't dislike unions. I dislike some of these union bosses, though, because they're always in Democrats' back pocket. I've never understood that. How you got to have a union boss who literally votes for the party that sends your jobs overseas? How are you having a union boss that fights against things like and literally fights against, by the way he votes, bringing manufacturing home, having more manufacturing based here in the U.S. of A.? I will never understand that. It's like chickens voting for Colonel Sanders. I will never get it in all of my life. And I come from, look, I don't need to measure my bona fides against anybody. I come from a Southern Missouri union family. I just don't get it. Why do you sit here and vote for the very thing that is your detriment, that is your peril, that is antithetical to you living your best life. I just don't get it. And this guy, I mean, read the damn room, Gold Nugget. Read the room. You got a natural disaster in a number of these states. Kate, how are they describing it? Biblical proportions. The disaster. Biblical proportions. And then this is happening. I mean, it's a major national disaster, natural disaster. And Captain Gold Chain is demanding a 77% raise, plus they want a cut of the containers. You know that, right? That's what they're demanding. Someone told me, well, you know, what their unions are a service. That's what they're asking for. No, no, no. This is 77% raise plus a percentage of the containers. That's not a service. That's a stick up. And they want a full on ban on any and all automation of ports. You know that, right? That's part of the demand. Full ban on automation. Full ban. So, sure, let's just refuse to automate our ports and have the United States fall behind every other nation in that regard. Instead of, I don't know, maybe like working on a plan to grow technology while integrating existing jobs. No, we'll just have a full-on ban plus a 77% raise and a percentage of every container that comes in. Again, that ain't a service. That's a stick-up. And it is true. They are demanding for a total ban on any and all automation. Now, not every port has a ban on automation. Some of them, like on the West Coast, they got what they call automation assist. So it's not full automation, but they require assistance. And so they're integrating jobs in. They're not banning it. They're making sure that their jobs are on pace with their tech. I have less of a problem with that. I have a major problem with, well, let's ban all the automation. That's like McDonald's going, no, we're not going to. We're going to demand $50,000 an hour for the people who just ring out your fries. A job's a job, and there's no shame in a job, but there is shame in demanding more and trying to hold a whole country hostage by demanding more than what the service is worth according to how the market supports it. And to try to kneecap with tech. I mean, they want a total ban of automation, not a partial. I'm reading it. Total ban. It's on their website, their list of demands, their whole manifesto. Now, they've been criticized for it, because what you do is you make it to where you're globally uncompetitive. We don't need the U.S. falling behind in that regard. So I don't know. I mean, I'm looking at, you might want to get some things. I don't know how long it's going to last, but you know, and as I was saying, this guy, let me pull this up, because this is the other thing. How much money did this dude make? This is what you always got the little guys and the big guys, right? Little guys and the big guys. And that's like the classic story of little guy worker. And, you know, the old play Waiting for Lefty with the reason, you know, people started organizing. You got the big guy oppressing the little guy. But then what happens when the little guy becomes a big guy and starts oppressing other little guys? That's the thing. This guy, Daggett, he banked just last year alone. He got paid over $1 million. Over $1 million last year. Well over $1 million for his total pay. It was $1,049,416 approximately. This is according to publicly available records. Because of the ILA Local 18041. Then you got the International Longshoremen's Association headquarter. Their paid secretary treasurer. They paid their secretary treasurer, Stephen Knotts, over $500,000. He ended up just shy of $800,000 for last year alone. Daggett's son, you know, because we don't have a monarchy, but we do. Daggett's son. Isn't that nice? We keeping that nepotism in the family, just thus defining nepotism. We keeping it in the family. Harold Daggett's son, Dennis, he got paid almost $700,000 last year. That's a nice check. He's the executive vice president of ILA. And then, oh, what? That's right. Daggett's other son. Well, he's got his family set up real nice, doesn't he? Real nice. Wouldn't you like to have your boys set up like this? I got boys. I'd love to have my boys set up like this. Each of these boys is getting over half a million dollars in pay. Huh. He's also, his son John works for the union too. Well, isn't that something? He got paid $642,631. And there's a picture of him holding a sign saying profit over people is unacceptable. And he was at a Democrat event. Isn't that interesting? Profit over people. What do you do? Well, he is the head of the he's the VP of ILA Local 18041. And he's a general VP of the ILA Atlantic Coast District. That's what he does. How dare you ask him? So that's nice. The whole fam-damily of Daggett's are all set up, aren't they? Isn't that something? That family's getting millions of dollars from the longshoremen. Do y'all know that? But they will cripple you. Then you got the paid general VP, Wilbert Rowell. Well, he didn't make, in 2023, he made over $804,000. John Baker. He's the International Longshoremen's Association headquarters. He's a general organizer. All in all, he ended up, he got $627,761.23. And all the 22 unions, because the union has 22 vice presidents. Isn't that something? 22 vice presidents. Just on that, because they have multiple tasks, they have multiple titles, and you get a check, a six-figure check per title, right? So the union VP title, you get they all got paid almost $200,000. Let me keep going. These people are making fat bank. Got the assistant general organizer. He got over $500,000. You got this guy. He's the, another general organizer. He got $762,462. I mean, I can keep going if y'all want. Upper management's getting their checks. What's the wages of the folks they're out there supposedly advocating for? Is what I want to know. I mean, I'm looking at these guys, and I don't think any one of these damn men who are making six figures have lifted anything heavier than a cardboard box that's empty. If I had to make a guess. But, you know, they will cripple you if you don't give them what they want. Do you think, Kane, that their wages go up if they get the 77% demand and a percentage of the containers and a ban on all automation?
What, the average worker?
No. Oh. Let's be real. If this were about the average worker, they would have accepted the 50% increase and they wouldn't be doing this stuff now. Exactly. They also probably wouldn't be making a six-figure check per title that they got.
Exactly.
So do you think that their wages, these management wages, are going to go up?
Oh, the answer would be hell yes.
I wonder how much of that cut they're actually going to get. I love the way that they present this. Like, oh, you individually are going to be getting a cut of this container. Like hell, you ain't getting nothing. They will cripple you.
Hi, I'm Lillian, an English major at Hillsdale College. Here's Hillsdale President Dr. Larry Arnn with a Constitution Minute.
America's founders believed in the separation of church and state, in that the country was not to have an official religion or an official sect. But that did not mean that government was to be hostile to religion, or even indifferent to religion, as many today argue. In fact, America's founding document, the Declaration of Independence, includes both a reference to God as the author of the laws of nature and a confident assertion that human beings are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. Far from being hostile or indifferent to religion, America's founders understood the theology of the Declaration to be an essential part of the education of citizens.
To learn more and get a free pocket Constitution, visit ConstitutionMinute.com.
This Constitution Minute was furnished by Hillsdale College.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
A shock map reveals the surprising states that have the most cocaine users. It's Colorado. I actually am not surprised. 18 and older, 96,000 people have used cocaine within the past year. Who's honest about that, by the way? Like, ring, ring, hello, would you like to take part in our survey? Have you snorted any cocaine?
Well, yes, I snorted a lot of...
Who does that? Yeah, sure have. Snorting it right now. Booger sugar. The 96,000 people have used it within the past year, according to the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, or SAMHSA for short. Colorado, followed by Vermont. Vermont. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Hold up. Vermont. Like axe cutters and maple syrup.
Yeah.
People with their fall vignettes and the flannel shirts and L.L. Bean people.
Yeah.
Those people.
That's that Vermont.
Wow. Followed by Rhode Island. I would have not had a single one of these on my bingo card for cocaine. I would not have. Golly, that's crazy. Well, I don't know what's happening there, but same. Let's see. Tropical Storm Kirk, who's a real jerk, I hear, forms over Atlantic and the Atlantic, expected to become a major hurricane. Got our eyes on that one. AI is stressing the grid. According to Wall Street Journal, it's using three New York City's worth of power. And a 43-foot-tall naked Donald Trump towered over a Las Vegas freeway, according to TMZ. Somebody put it up. Clearly, they didn't like him. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you, top of this third hour. You can find us over at Substack, Chapter and Verse Newsletter, on Channel 347 DirecTV. And you can also find us at Rumble. That's where the chat happens. So craziness, we got the strike that's looming. Well, it's here. It's actually here. Now we're going to wait and see how that affects everything from, the price of like construction materials, especially when we're dealing with the aftermath of Helene. And that's the other thing. FEMA, the big government agency tasked with, you know, gets where part of our tax dollars go to, you know, FEMA. And that's the Federal Emergency Management Agency. It's part of Homeland Security. And FEMA is supposed to be there and helping people lead the agency, the lead agency in responding from these natural disasters. And there's been some criticism over FEMA. And I was actually shocked to see that when you look at FEMA's website, you go to FEMA.gov, and you look at emergency management, they have a strategic plan that they have posted. I'm looking at the live website right now. It's a strategic plan posted. And the goal number one. Now, keep in mind, it's emergency management. They're the lead federal agency in responding to a crisis, natural disaster. Goal number one, quote, instill equity as a foundation of emergency management. I don't actually know what that means. They said that, quote, disasters impact people and communities differently. Every disaster occurs within a unique context based on a community's geographic, demographic, political, historical, and cultural characteristics. These unique contexts require tailored solutions that are designed to meet their unique needs. What? So they're saying that specific identity groups suffer disproportionately from disasters. This is Marxism that gets into emergency management. This is literally on FEMA's webpage, on their page, like on their main page under emergency management. They think that FEMA assistance can be delivered in an equitable manner. What? Now, they highlight Biden's executive order defining equity as, quote, the consistent and systematic fair, just, and impartial. That's actually the irony there, because it's not. Treatment of individuals, blah, 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 race, you know, LGBT alphabet, all that. So they say that it is the treatment without discrimination, but you literally have to use discrimination in order to be equitable. Whereas equality is the opportunity to achieve a desired outcome equity is the guarantee of a desired outcome, meaning that everyone is going to be shoved into the same opportunity. Some maybe will be discriminated against based upon variables which they cannot control. This is insane. And this is what we see with FEMA. I'm it would be remiss to not mention Kamala Harris's flashback audio where she talks, audio soundbite 8, exactly about this. Listen.
It is our lowest income communities and our communities of color that are most impacted by these extreme conditions and impacted by issues that are not of their own making.
And so women.
Absolutely. And so we have to address this in a way that is about giving resources based on equity, understanding that we fight for equality, but we also need to fight for equity, understanding not everyone starts out at the same place. And if we want people to be in an equal place, sometimes we have to take into account those disparities.
So this is their racial equity community that came up with all this stuff. And I'm just amazed at this. I'm amazed at this. And this isn't the first time that they've gotten criticism before. In fact, Harris's remarks about this, wasn't this in the wake of Hurricane Ian, where she was talking about giving resources based on equity? Even you had the FEMA administrator at the time, and then DeSantis had to go out and assure people. DeSantis was like, no, no, no. People who need hurricane relief are getting hurricane relief. But it's equity over equality, and they're bringing this into, I mean, when you consider FEMA and emergency management, shouldn't the goal number one of the three goals listed on their priorities under emergency management, shouldn't the goal be like, I don't know, like emergency response? That just seems, I mean, I just, that's just kind of what I think of it. Shouldn't it just be that? I mean, you're building this Marxist nonsense into our federal agencies that respond to emergencies. This is insane. Equity. Equity requires discrimination to carry out because, like I said, it is guaranteeing an outcome, whereas equality is guaranteeing an equal opportunity. Equity is guaranteeing an equal outcome. Very different. That means discrimination is required for an equitable outcome. And it's an equitable outcome regardless of how much work someone puts into it. It's Marxist at its very core. It's truly wild.
Thanks for tuning in to today's edition of Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.